I take my subject and my title from verse 4, where Jesus was talking about the shepherd going to look for the one lost sheep, where he said, "And go after that which is lost until he find it." Luke chapter 15 contains three stories. There's a story of a lost sheep, the story of a lost coin, the story of a lost son. Now, we didn't read the story of the lost son, but it's a very familiar story. We know it as the story of the prodigal son. But Jesus told these stories to instruct not only his disciples, but to he was talking to the publicans and the Pharisees that were there, but he told the story for us. He wanted us to know how important it is that we go after the lost, that we go after those that don't know Christ as their Savior, that we go after those that are not saved, that we go after those that are on their way to hell. He said in Luke chapter 19, verse 10, "For the Son of Man," talking about himself, "is come to seek and to save that which was lost." And so he says, what I do, I want you to do the same thing. What I've given my life to do, I want you to give your life to do, and that's sharing with others salvation, sharing with others the kingdom of God, sharing with others heaven. When he called James and John and Peter and Andrew and Matthew, and I'm sure he used similar words when he called his other disciples, he said, "Follow me and I will make you fishers of men." And tonight I'll be preaching from that verse. I mean, a lot of people don't think they have what it takes to be a witness. And Jesus said, "Hey, all you got to do is follow me. Just follow me and I will make you fishers of men." But this morning, but that's tonight's sermon. This morning, again, I preach on the subject, go after that which was lost. And I want to look at those two stories that we read, the story of the shepherd and the lost sheep, the story of the woman and the lost coin. And I want to mention to you five things. So this is one of those bonus sermons this morning. Usually you only get 3 points in a story. This morning you get 5 points, not 7, Brother Terrell, just 5 points. And I have a story that I want to end my sermon with. But before I start, I want to mention something to you. I want you to notice. Again, we didn't read the story of the prodigal son, but most of you know the story. Most of you know the results. As Jesus told this story, he said, "I want you to know, I guarantee you success. That if you go after the lost, you may not get all of them, but you'll get some of them. You may not get every person that you share the gospel with. You may not get every person that you give a tract to. You may not get every person that you take down the Roman road, but you will get some. And so I want you to go after that which is lost." And as he told the stories, we read that the shepherd found the one lost sheep. The woman found the one lost coin. And the father who lost his son was able to welcome him home back into the fold and safety of their home. And so this morning I mentioned five things. Five things about the story of the shepherd, 5 things about the story of the coin, 5 things that are true about every lost sinner and every person that goes after that sinner. I've made it easy for you to remember because all these words start with the letter D. D. The first word I give to you this morning is the word disaster. Disaster. A lost sheep is a disaster. Sheep are dumb. I mean, they're one of the dumbest animals that God made. He made them that way, but they are dumb. And if a little sheep gets lost, they don't know how to care for themselves. I mean, they don't know how to get to pastures that they need to eat in. They don't know how to get to still waters that they can drink of. I mean, they need the shepherd to take care of them. And so if a little sheep gets lost, in all likelihood, they will die. And that's a disaster. It was a disaster when the woman lost one of her coins. The Bible says she only had 10. Can you imagine what it would be like if 10% of your life savings, 10% of your IRA, 10% of everything you had was lost? It would be a disaster. It was a disaster for that woman. A lost soul is a disaster. A person that's on their way to hell is a disaster waiting to happen, because that life will never be spent in the way that God planned for it to be spent. I want to remind you this morning, I don't care how old you are, I don't care if you're 2 years old, and I don't think we have any two-year-olds in here, but I don't care if you're 17 like Brother Larry is this morning, God has a plan for each of our lives. He's got a plan. I just stop and think about it. The one that spoke the universe into existence. The one in the book of Colossians that tells us that he's still holding everything together. That God has a plan for your life. You as an individual. He knows your name. He knows your station in life. And he has a plan for your life. But a soul that is lost, a soul that has never asked Jesus to save him, will never fulfill that plan, because the first step on every plan that God has for every life is a person get saved. The Bible says that he's not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to resistance. And so a lost soul is a disaster, because that life is never going to be spent how God intends for it to be spent. It's a disaster because that lost soul will one day die. In fact, that lost soul is already dead. I know our soul is going to live forever. It's that part of us that's never going to die. I'm not talking about the death, the physical death of a soul. It can't be. I'm talking about the spiritual death of a soul. The Bible says the wages of sin is death. Separation from God. Separation from that one that made us. Separation from that one that has a plan for each of our lives. And that soul without Jesus is dead. It doesn't die when it goes to hell. It's dead already, because it's separated from the God that made it. And for all eternity, that soul will be separated from its creator, from God. I'll remind you again this morning, hell was not made by God for people. Hell was made by God for Satan. He will borrow it and use it for those that reject him. And those, that soul, that lost soul that goes to hell and spends eternity in that place that was made for Satan is a disaster. A disaster. And it's a disaster because that's not what God intended. Again, he's not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. And again, this excites me every time I think about it. I mean, I could just stop right here, and I could spend the next hour talking about the fact that God wants me to go to heaven. God wants me to spend an eternity with him in heaven. And the same thing's true about me as about you. Just stop and think about it. God wants you to go to heaven. He wants you to spend eternity with him in his home. He said, in my Father's house are many mansions. I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there ye may be also. I don't know about you, that sin shivers up my spine. God wants me. He wants me to go. He's prepared a place for me. He's ready for me to come to heaven. And he wants every single person. I don't care who you are this morning. I don't care what kind of life you're living. I don't care about your past. I don't care about none of that. But God wants you in heaven. He's not willing that any should perish. And it's a disaster when a person dies and goes to hell apart from Jesus Christ. So every person that we know, everybody in our family that's lost, that's a disaster. Every person that we live close to, our neighbors, that's lost, that's a disaster. Every person that we work with that has never claimed Christ as their Savior, that's a disaster. Every person that we are friends with that don't know Jesus, that's a disaster. Their life is a disaster. It's against God's plan. It's against God's will. It's a disaster. And it was a disaster when that shepherd lost his sheep. It was a disaster when that woman lost her coin. The second word I give you this morning is desire. Desire. What caused the shepherd to leave the 99 and go after the one? What caused the woman to light a candle and begin to sweep the house and search the house? It was a desire to find the sheep, a desire to find the coin, a deep heartfelt longing to find that which was lost. And if we're going to go after the lost, we not only have to recognize that this is a disaster, that a lost person is lost, we have to have a desire. God gives us that desire. The desire that's deep in our heart that says, I do not want that person to go to hell. A desire that says, I will tell them about Jesus. A desire that weeps over the lost, that spends countless hours in prayer praying for the lost. A desire that says, like Moses, Lord, if you don't save your people, then blot me out of the book. A desire that says, like the Apostle Paul, my heartfelt desire is for my own people that they might be saved. Let me ask you this morning, who do you have a desire like that for? We ought to have it for everybody that God puts in our life that doesn't know Christ. We ought to have that kind of desire for our parents. We ought to have that kind of desire for our children. We ought to have that kind of desire for our brothers, our sisters, our grandparents, our neighbors, and our friends. And until we see those that are lost as a disaster that they are, and until we have a desire to get them saved, to tell them about Jesus, we'll never take the next step. You see, the next step also starts with a D, and that's the word decision. The shepherd decides to leave the 99 and go after the one. The woman decides to light the candle and sweep the house and search for the coin. The decision to get involved, the decision to be active, the decision to do something, to tell somebody about Jesus. You see, the desire to find the sheep was a wonderful thing, but if there was no decision to go, the sheep would have never been found. The desire to find the coin was a wonderful thing, but if the decision wasn't made to light the candle and sweep the house, the coin never would have been found. It's a wonderful thing to have a desire to see people saved. It's a wonderful thing to have a desire to see them baptized and join the church. It's a wonderful thing to have a desire to see people come to God and grow in Him. But the desire by itself is not enough. You got to make the decision to go. To go. Desire by itself won't get the job done. Faith without works is dead. A desire without a decision is useless. I can desire to lose weight. I've had that desire many times in my life. But most of those times, I have not made the decision to do anything about it. I've been trying to diet for the past 8 weeks. Somebody brings into my house this chocolate cake with lots of icing. And I walk by that thing and I say, no, no, no. I mean, I see it sitting on a no. And then it sort of calls my name. And even though I have a desire, I make bad decisions sometimes. And I eat the cake. Faith without works is dead. Desire without making the right decisions is useless. I can have a desire to save money. I can have a desire to read a book, but unless I make the decision to do something about it, my desire accomplished nothing. I can have a desire to see people saved. I can have a desire to see them come into the kingdom of God. I can have them a desire to see them baptized and join the church. But unless I decide to go, unless I decide to go and pass out a tract, unless I decide to go and knock on a door and tell somebody about Jesus, my desire is useless. Every lost person is a disaster. I must have the desire to go after them. I must make a decision to back up that desire. I must make a decision to go. And then number four, I must have determination. The shepherd goes after that which was lost. Notice what the Bible says. Until he finds it. The woman lights a candle and sweeps and seeks diligently till she finds it. The desire says, I want to see somebody saved. The determination says, I'm not going to stop until they are. The decision says, I'm going to go. But the determination says, I'm not going to stop going until that which is lost is found. The determination says, it's not over until the sheep is back in the pen. Determination says, it's not over until the coin is back in the purse. Determination says, it's not over until the son is home again. Let me ask you this morning, how many of you got saved the first time you heard the gospel? I mean, if you did, raise your hand. Anybody? All right, so Barb, the first time you heard the gospel, you got saved. Anybody else? She's the exception. Most of us did not get saved the first time we heard the gospel. I didn't. I mean, it was months and months and months after I first heard the gospel. I mean, I knew I was lost. I knew I was a sinner. I knew I deserved hell. I've told you before, I stand in church during the invitation, and I dig my fingernails into the pew in front of me. The Holy Spirit was calling me to go down the aisle and give my heart and life to Jesus Christ. But I was shy. I mean, I was afraid to get in front of people. I didn't want to walk down the aisle. I knew John 3:16. I could quote it by heart. They taught it to me in Sunday school. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have everlasting life. I mean, I knew most of the Roman roads. There's none righteous, no, not one. For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. I knew all that. But it took months of my grandma shaking her pointed finger in my face. It took months of prayer on the part of my dad and my mom. It took months of cajoling and witnessing of my Sunday school teachers and those Christians that were in my life that affected it. And that night when my pastor at the night of the revival, Tuesday night of the revival, said, Daryl, don't you think it's about time you got saved? I said, yes, sir. And he took me into his office, and we knelt in front of a couch, and I asked Jesus into my heart. You want to know why? Because I had a grandma that was determined. I had a mom and dad that was determined. I had some Sunday school teachers that were determined. They were not going to give up until this old lost boy was found. Let me ask you, who have you given up on? Are there people in your life that you've prayed for, and you said, I prayed and prayed and prayed. They're so lost, they're never going to get saved. Who are you to decide that? Who are you to know that? You're not the judge of that. Only God is. Only God decides when he has the Holy Spirit stop calling. We don't need to quit. Helen prayed for her cousin for almost 50 years, I think, if I remember right, before they got saved. And they got saved and they got baptized in that baptistry because that little lady was determined and said, I'm not quitting. I'm not giving up. Until they're saved. And Harold's in heaven this morning, and Betty's on her way because the determination of that lady. Who have you given up on? Listen, it ain't over until they're in the fold. It ain't over until the sheep's back in the pen. It ain't over until the coin's back in the purse. It ain't over until the son's back home with dad. It ain't over until God saves that person that he's given you desire to go after. So it starts with disaster. It's realizing that a lost person is a disaster, something that God never planned for. It takes desire. It takes decision. It takes determination. And it leads to number five, delight. Delight. The shepherd says, rejoice with me, for I have found my sheep which was lost. The woman says, rejoice with me, for I have found the peace which I had lost. The father says, let us eat and be merry, for this my son was dead and is alive. Again, he was lost and is found. God says, likewise, there shall be joy in heaven over one sinner that repenteth. We read a moment ago, there is joy in the presence of the angels of God over one sinner that repenteth. I read a sermon this week, and it's talking about that verse, and it says, you know what? Says joy in the presence of the angels. I'm sure the angels are happy because their God is happy, but you know what? Angels don't know how to feel the joy. You know what that verse is talking about? about the joy in the presence of the angels? It's the moms and dads and grandpas and grandmas and brothers and sisters that are in heaven. And as it's reported that their son or their daughter or their grandson or their granddaughter or somebody they love's gotten saved, it's those people that are rejoicing. It's those people that are clapping their hands together. It's those people that are praising the Lord. Hey, somebody that I know, somebody that I love got saved. And they're on this way. They're on their way to this place. I sort of think if when we get to heaven, we're going to be happy over somebody that gets saved, we ought to be happy down here. I sort of think if they clap their hands in heaven over somebody that gets saved, that we ought to clap our hands together down here. I sort of think if they get excited in heaven over somebody getting saved, we ought to get excited about it down here, don't you? It leads to delight. I read a story I'll close with that illustrates all five of these points. Takes place back in the pioneers' days before they had running water. You had to go out to a well, draw your water out of a well. A man and his wife had a little girl, 4 years old, little tyke. Daddy went out to the fields to plow. He left as the sun was coming up and left mom and the little girl there to take care of the chores at home until he got back at lunchtime. And so just after breakfast, the lady took her little daughter in her arms and went out to the well to draw some water. And as she was reaching for the bucket, her little daughter, who was squirming at that point, fell from her arms and fell down into the well. That was a disaster. She knew that that little girl was going to die. She knew that little girl had no hope. Water was over her head. She knew that just in a matter of moments, her little 4-year-old daughter was going to be dead. She had a desire. She said, I don't want my little girl to die. I've got to do something. My desire is to save her. There wasn't enough time to call for help. There wasn't enough time to go get her husband. There wasn't enough time to go get any neighbor. And so based on that desire, that mother made a decision. She jumped down into the well. She made a decision to jump down into the well. The water only came to about here on her. But she found her little girl, still alive, and she held her little girl up like this. Now, it was still early in the morning. Of course, she started to cry for help, but there's nobody to hear. And for 5 hours, she stood there with her little 4-year-old girl, standing in cold water up to her neck, just holding her little girl up like this. She could breathe. At noontime, her husband came home. He heard her shouts for help. He got a rope, tied it to the well, went down to the well, pulled them both to safety. His little girl was fine, but his wife, when he got her to the top of the well, she just passed out. She was cold, and she was exhausted. He took her in, put her in the bed. A couple hours later, she woke up. He was sitting there by her bedside. First word she said, is Maggie safe? That was her little girl. Is Maggie safe? And he said, yes, honey, you saved her. She's safe and well. And that mom had delight. The story reads that she didn't have enough strength to clap her hands, but she just sort of did like this. It's a disaster when somebody's lost. God gives us the desire. If you're a Christian, he gives us the desire for them to be saved. We have to make a decision to go. We have to make a decision to be determined that we're not going to quit until they're safe in the fold. And then one day, like that verse in Psalm says, he that goeth forth and weepeth, bearing precious seed, shall doubtless come again rejoicing, bringing the lost one home, bringing the lost one home. Let's go after that which was lost. God says, you go. You may not get all of them, but I'll give you some of them. I'll give you some of them. Let's pray together. Father, thank you for your word. Thank you for the instruction that it gives us. I pray, first of all, Father, if there's somebody here this morning that doesn't know Jesus as their Savior, help them to see that their life is a disaster. They need Christ. They need to be saved. They need to secure a home in heaven. And the only way they can do that is to come to you. You said, I'm the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh to the Father but by me. Help him to come. Most of us are Christians here this morning. All of us know somebody that doesn't know Christ. Somebody that's not saved. Somebody on their way to hell. Father, I pray you give us a desire for their salvation. And then I pray that we'll make that decision to go. And with determination, keep after him. Keep praying. Keep talking to him. Keep doing what we can do until they come to Christ. Father, just please bless this invitation. Help us to be obedient as the Holy Spirit speaks. For it's in his name we pray. Amen.